The stakes have never been higher for Boris Johnson as the parliament that was prorogued resumes, empowered by that sensational Supreme Court ruling. But what are his chances of survival? I put that question to Dr. Ben Wellings, the Deputy Director of the European and EU Centre at Monash University.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on him to resign, but I don't think he's the resigning type. I think that he will see this as really an intensification of the positions in Parliament and in the country, and he'll take the fights to those who wish to either seek another extension or not leave the EU altogether. So I think he's on his way back from New York now, gearing up for huge showdown in British politics.
So what does that mean in terms of the authority of the Supreme Court ruling? I mean, the Prime Minister says he disagrees with it, but he says he will respect it. And yet it almost sounds like he's thumbing his nose at it too.
Well, yeah, I think that he's clearly disappointed with it. And, you know, in his press conference in New York, he seemed to hint that, you know, it was about trying to get Brexit through, even though he said that it wasn't when he spoke to the Queen. And that is the crux of the issue. I think that he and his advisers are taking a very deliberately reckless approach to the Constitution and to British politics in terms of their tactics and their aims and their outcomes in general. Really seeking to crash or crash through. The problem with that approach is sometimes you just crash, and that's what I think has happened to Johnson in this instance.
If Boris Johnson survives, can he have another go at proroguing the parliament?
Well, I think he probably could, but this time, of course, he would not have to lie to the Queen about it. So I don't know that would be politically feasible. There will be a prorogation, a sort of a standard prorogation of Parliament for party conferences and so on. But anything that smacks of trying to silence Parliament in an unprecedented way, which was the case with this most recent attempt, will be politically very dangerous indeed. So I think that his options are getting smaller and smaller by the minute, and could even include something really weird, like putting a motion of no confidence in his own government in order to bring about an election at a time that he wants, not that the opposition parties in Parliament want, which is currently the headlock that they've got him in. So he is running out of options, but he does remain ahead in the polls. So he'll be buoyed by the general sense of frustration that there is amongst some members of the electorate, that Brexit, you know, appears to have been thwarted again.
And after the court's ruling, it seems that the judges have, in the process, put the judiciary above the crown. I mean, is that a fair characterisation, do you think? And how big a call in constitutional terms is this Supreme Court ruling?
I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but my reading of it is that it is a pretty big deal. I mean, the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom is a fairly novel institution. It's only 10 years old. And, you know, this ruling has in some ways now shores up representative democracy in the United Kingdom. And that is a novel innovation, which I think that the constitutional lawyers will have a lot of time to analyse now and a lot of energy going towards that. So I think it's a pretty massive decision. I mean, remember, it's not strictly about Brexit. It was all about the legality of proroguing Parliament and denying parliamentary scrutiny. But we are seeing change of rhetoric from the Brexiteers who, for ages, even before the term Brexit was coined, for about 30 years have been saying that the British system, you know, common law, representative democracy is superior to anything that the Europeans have. Now they seem to be quite dismayed about it and want to shut down Parliament. So it's turned everything, you know, the kind of the certitudes and the arguments, it's turned everything on its head once again. Brexit has delivered another shock and surprise in British politics.
So just briefly, would you put money on Britain crashing out of the EU on the 31st of October or going to an election? What do you think's next?
Look, it's still on. I don't think there'll be an election before the 31st of October. I wonder what Johnson and his advisers will have up their sleeve as a result of this. The only way that there would be an election, as I mentioned, would be if Johnson has a vote of no confidence in his own government. So unless they can sincerely get a deal done by the middle of next month, which I just don't think they've been planning for in any serious way at all, because their preference was always no deal. Now, otherwise, we're going to be stuck. You know, the 31st of October will come and go, and we'll probably see an extension. But Johnson is so opposed to this, I'm not quite clear who's going to give that extension.
Ben Wellings, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Linda.
Dr. Ben Wellings, Deputy Director of the European and EU Centre at Monash University.